Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to CBC's Car Service. Good to see friends and visitors amongst us. And I'd just like to let you know that if you're a reader, there'll be a number in the top left-hand corner at the top. So when I say 1, 2, 3, etc., you'll know who you are. And if you'd like to, when you read it, you'd like to come down to the microphone, that would be good. If you can't get down to the microphone, we'll bring it to you if you've got a quiet voice. I think that's about it, really. We've got a bit of a change in what we normally do today, so it's all like very exciting. And we've got to take it in a light-hearted way. But even so, it's worth remembering that we only do this once a year, and it's although we have communion once every month, once every year we come together to focus on God coming to visit us as a man, as a baby. And I just pray that it would be a blessing to everybody here and to heaven as well. So let's come together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honour of being able to come into this place, to step out of the world, Lord, into this tiny part of your kingdom where like-minded people and heirs to the kingdom meet together in faith. And we look to you, Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, and we give you thanks, because without you there is no point in going into tomorrow, everyone, anything else, Lord. We just thank you for everything that you did for us, for laying down your life for us, for coming into this dark world as a light to both your own people and to us Gentiles. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be with us, Holy Spirit, today, and to set us free, not just to sing carols, Lord, but to praise and to worship the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and to know your presence in this place. So Lord, we lay everything that we have at your feet, and we just want to tell you, Lord, that we love you, and we look and long for your return. And the only way we can approach you is through our Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between man and God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'd like to ask Jerry if you'd like to come down and share. It's a poem, isn't it?
Yep. Well,
does it rhyme?
If I read it right. You know, the world today, when you look at the television or read the newspapers, Christmas doesn't mean an awful lot to the world. And this poem, I believe, is written by someone who was thinking, what does the Lord think about the people of earth at Christmas? So this is a little poem. 'Twas a night before Christmas. God glanced over the earth. He looked to and fro all over its girth. They missed it again, he said with a sigh, a heavy heart and a tear in his eye. I gave them my son so they could be free, my greatest gift to them for me. They traded it in for a man in red, a little tree and a horse-drawn sled. How do I save them and make them see? My love is complete, my grace is free. How do I help them when all they know is a talking snowman and a box with a bow? Maybe next year they will stop and see the greatest gift of Christmas is this little child from me. You know, and that's what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, indeed. The gift of a child, indeed. And of course, this was all prophesied way, hundreds of years before Jesus entered this world as a baby. And that is portrayed in Isaiah. So reading one then from Isaiah 7, 9, 6 and 7.
the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Second reading comes from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25.
This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with a child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived of in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with a child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was freshly married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, her son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And if you were in junior schools, you would have been doing this one, away in a manger, no crib for a bed.
Lay down.
reading two then, continuing from where we left off really, reading number four.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
We're going to do something different now. Linda here has got something that she'd like to share with you. And it's something that's new to me. It may not be new to you, but let's see what it is.
How many of us have got these on our Christmas trees? Little candy canes. Okay. I had a friend, she's from Canada, and she brought this story over from Canada. It's a whole book. Obviously, I'm not going to do that today. But this is the legend of the candy cane. Many years ago, a candy maker wanted to make candy at Christmas time that would serve as a witness to his Christian faith. He wanted to incorporate several symbols for the birth, ministry, and death of Jesus. He began with a stick of pure white candy, white to symbolize the virgin birth and the sinless nature of Jesus, hard to symbolize the solid rock, foundation of the church, firmness to represent the promise of God. The candy maker made the candy in the form of a gem to represent the name of Jesus, who came to earth as our Saviour. He thought it could also represent the staff of the Good Shepherd, with which he reached down into the ditches of the world to lift out the fallen lambs, who, like all sheep, have gone astray. Thinking that the candy was somewhat plain, the candy maker stained it with red stripes. He used three small stripes to show the stripes of the scourging Jesus received, by which we are healed. The large red stripe was for the blood shed by Jesus Christ on the cross, so that we could have the promise of eternal life. Unfortunately, the candy became known as the candy cane, a meaningless decoration seen at Christmas time. But the true meaning is still there for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. And there's a little poem that kind of goes with this. Look at the candy cane. What do you see? Sorry, I could only get stripes of green and red. So I guess that the green would be the trees, the world that God provided for us. Evergreen? Yeah. Look at the candy cane. What do you see? Stripes that are red, like blood shed for me. White is for my Saviour, who is sinless and pure. J is for Jesus, my Lord, that's for sure. Turn it around, and the staff you will see. Jesus, my Shepherd, was born for me.
Amen. Who's heard that before then?
No.
I have.
Because
so
I sent it.
Because he sent it.
And there's candy canes there for everybody.
Fancy that, they've been stuck on Christmas trees and people just have not really known how scripturally sound they are. That's really good. Thank you, Linda. Right, now then, we've got somebody who has never played trumpet in here before. Well, he has actually, because we had him down here for me to do a sound test. Would you like to come down and... This is Alan, and he's going to do a medley of four carols linked together. Shall I tell them what it is, or shall I let them guess?
You can tell them.
I can tell them that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the words up. I'm going to put the words up on the screen. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing really loudly, because although Alan's really good on that instrument, he runs away with it. Right?
Sorry.
So we have got to sing so loud that he cannot race ahead. Right? He gets carried away. So the first one is "While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night," followed by "As With Gladness Men of Old." There's my Yorkshire coming out. Old. "Unto Us a Boy Is Born." And finally, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Okay? So have you got your lips ready?
I think so.
Have you warmed it up? It's got new batteries in. Nola, if she would just read us through The lighting of the fourth candle.
Fourth candle is the candle of love. Love plays a vital role in the Christmas story. Because of Joseph's love for Mary, he didn't stone her when he found out she was pregnant with what he thought was a child out of wedlock with another man, as Alan read earlier on in Matthew chapter 1. Mary had a natural motherly love for Jesus. Ultimately, we see God's love for everyone by sending his son for us. And to quote Jerry's favourite verse from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life." Jesus focused on preaching love throughout his ministry. Two of his greatest commands involve love. Love God and love your neighbour as yourself. Love is the greatest of all the virtues on the Advent wreath and encompasses Jesus' entire purpose for being on earth. Not surprisingly, the Bible has a lot to say about love. Depending on your translation, the word appears 100 to 300 times throughout Scripture. It makes sense. God is love. They know we are Christians by our love. Love sacrificed Jesus' Son for our sins. 1 Corinthians 13 alone tallies off a number of characteristics of love. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, and so on. We cannot walk with Christ without it, and we cannot have the Christmas story without it. As Linus states in A Charlie Brown Christmas, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. We cannot be Christians without Christ and without love. Otherwise, our works and our purpose on earth are for nothing. We need Christ and Christ's love to share the good news of salvation throughout the earth. Christ connects all the Advent candles. Through him, we can have hope, peace, joy, and love. Without him, why have any of those things? Christ steps down into darkness to light the world. Because of him, we can be a light unto others, showing them the true meaning of Christmas. Heavenly Father, the whole meaning of Christmas can be explained in one little four-letter word, love. You sent your gift of pure love to us that first Christmas. Love descended from heaven to be born of a virgin. Love lay in the scratchy hay of a manger in a meager barn in Bethlehem. All of your love, Father God, was robed in the delicate skin of a baby and wrapped in swaddling clothes. This final week of Advent, help us to reflect on the magnitude of love that was made manifest in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Now we have a candle that hasn't been lit. It's really difficult to choose somebody, isn't it, to light a candle. I think I'd like Frieda to light it. Frieda's still recovering from taking the wheelie bins out. So we've got to keep hold of her at all times. Did you get it lit? Is it going?
It's going.
It's going. Now, some people might not know this carol, but you'll know the tune because it's Green Sleeves. Everybody knows Green Sleeves. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring in praise, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians fear, for sinners hear, the silent word is pleading. Nails spear shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me and for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come, peasant, king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high. The Virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.
During the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and brought Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Now this next song is not technically a carol, I don't think, but it's a really good song. It's recorded by Kenny Rogers and Wyona Jutte. Written by Mark Lowry and Woody Green. It's an interesting perspective, asking Mary the question, did you know your baby boy would someday walk on water? Did you know that he would save our sons and our daughters? Did you know the child that you've delivered will soon deliver you? And did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? That he would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that he walked where angels trod? And did you know that when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God? The blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, and the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? And did you know that one day your baby boy will rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And that this sleeping child that you're holding is the great I am? Did you know?
Mary, did you know?
Turning back to Scripture, John 1, verses 1 to 18.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Amen. Thank you. You know, over the last few days, we've heard ourselves saying in our family, you know, it's just not fair. Life's not fair. You know, and you think, why do things happen like this, and why do things happen like that? And, you know, this COVID thing, again, has kind of like got in the way of Christmas and getting together as a family and things like that. And you say to yourself, this is just not fair. And yet, you know, when you hear that reading that Linda's just read out, all of a sudden you realise God is as fair as he can be. God has opened the way to heaven and forgiveness to everybody. Everybody. No matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're disabled, whether you're old or you're young, the gates are wide open. You don't have to perform any tricks or do anything or pay anything. You don't even have to live a perfect life. And that's what kind of like makes things in perspective, where, yeah, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus said, "I overcome the world." And deep down inside, those who know him, those who have given their lives to him and have been born again, have a joy which no one can take away, even in these times of trouble, these times when nobody knows what's going to happen in the next week, or not even tomorrow, or even if there's going to be a lockdown at Christmas when they said there isn't going to be one. Nobody knows except the Lord. and those to whom he makes his plans known. And because he calls us his friends, we know his plans. And his plans are to take us out of here before things get too bad. Which, to my way of thinking, means it's going to get worse. And a lot of people are going to put the finger up to the God that they don't believe in. As we looked down and said, it was fair. We didn't have to stay there. The door was open while you're breathing. It's not the Lord's will that anybody should be lost. And although we've done nothing to deserve eternal life and forgiveness, God, being a God of love, has opened a gate, a way by which we may, must be saved. Because the alternative isn't worth thinking of. I don't want to be here when it all goes wrong. So I'm pretty sure that most people in this place today, as I look around, know what I'm talking about and know the Lord and are born again. But if perchance there is something in you telling you there is still something to be done, there is still a decision to be made, then it could be today. It could be that the very last thing that you need to do needs to be done today. To make a public testimony of your faith, to stand for Jesus, to step out of the world in a way, even though you're still in it, and into his kingdom. Time, believe me, is running out. So this is my favourite carol at the moment. I have a backing group of one clarinet. Or a tambourine. And we've got a trumpet somewhere. And we've got shakers and rattlers if you want to join in. And if you don't, or clap, or stomp, or... resounding joy. He rules the world, and he will, with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. The wonders of his love. Thank you. I don't know why that's my favourite. Well, okay. I think it'd be wrong if we didn't pray together before we left. Now, I've got a final piece of scripture that I'd like to share with you that's laid on my heart for today. Thanks, Daniel. That was great. Jumping octaves as well.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you for a joyful time together. We thank you, Lord, that we've got something to celebrate, that our future is secure in your hands, and that we can long for your coming without fear and trepidation. But Lord, we do pray for those in our families that do not yet know you. We pray for those who are prodigals that have known you and walked away. We pray that in these difficult, dark times, Lord, that you will bring about goodness out of it, Lord, that you will use it. Maybe the devil needs it for harm, but you will use it for good. And we pray that they will turn back to you. And those that never knew you will reach out with all their heart and mind to ask the big questions in life. Why am I here? What am I doing? Where am I going? What happens when I die? Lord, we lift up those who are not well today. We lift up those who are despondent and low. Those who are not encouraged. Those who may end up spending Christmas alone, in isolation. Lord, bring your Holy Spirit to them. Help us, Lord, to respond in the right way. Give us wisdom to know how to react, how to pray. And Lord, we just thank you that you are reliable and faithful. That all your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So as we come together in prayer, Lord, hear the cry of our hearts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Tell you what I could do, though, while you're doing that.
Appreciation, we return to you what you've given us in the first place. We ask you that you cleanse it, Lord, and that you give those who have got the responsibility to use it as seed to grow your kingdom in this place and throughout the world. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. So let's close with this scripture from 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 24. Not projected, just listen. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Amen. So bless you. Thank you for coming. I hope you had a laugh amongst the fun, and you were able to praise and worship at the same time. Service here on the Sunday because it's Boxing Day.